Eliyahu ben Barkel made two other points in this parak. One of them was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obviously not affected by our mitzvahs and averos. That Eliyahu is as if he's trying to say, like, well, I'd like to know, like, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this to me, etc. Well, just know, said Eliyahu, that there's not like you're affecting somebody or anything like that. That's definitely not what's happening. And then he says something interesting over here.
We said something very interesting about, before we talked about how this was the Satan's idea, we said that he didn't say the reason why Hashem did it, but he said
that if everything else in the world seems to make sense and one thing goes off, we go with something else. All right, well, we're probably going to repeat it because Eliyahu does go through his points over here. He's lying to Eliyahu again, and then at the end was, the lo omar, there's so many other people in this world, mirova shukim yaziku yishavim yizua rabim, right, so many other, the lo omar yeloha usoy, where is God, the one that made me? So we're saying there's so many other people who are exploited, are in pain, who have lived horrible lives and suffering and everything like that, and you don't see these people saying, where is God that made me? Right, Nosin Zemiros Belaila. They sing songs in the middle of the night. In other words, like yes, you have it bad. There's no question. Your pain and tribulation and everything that you've gone through is absolutely tremendous. But there are people who I don't want to say have it worse, but have it as bad. Have horrible, horrible, horrible usury in this world, and they don't complain the way that you're complaining. And from that, he says that clearly shows us something. Malafenu mi bahamos aretz. God has taught us more knowledge than the animals of the world. May Ofa Shemayim from the birds of the heavens, Yechakmenu, he's made us more wise. Shum, there, by the animals and the birds, when something goes wrong, Yutzaku, they cry out, Lo Yaneh, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't answer around.
Mibnei Gaon Ra'im. Yutzaku?
I have I'm sorry, it's a little thing. Yeah, Yitzaku, they cry out, Lo Yaneh, and there's no answer for them. Mibnei Gaon Ra'im, right, because of the superior power of the evil around them and stuff like that. This is interesting over here. There's a Gemara in Erevin, right? It's brought down around Daf Kuf that says that we can learn the Of Kuf Amavei is beautiful, that we can learn all of the different things from just the animals of the earth, that we could learn tznius from a cat and hard work and whatever it is from an ant, and I think it's actually gezel from an ant, and arias from a yona, how they stay with their mates the entire time. And we all know Havi Azkanumer, Gibor Kari, right, that every animal has it over there, and there's something like here. His line is that crying out in pain, and that type of idea and whatever it is, and just having that reaction of just screaming is an animalistic reaction. It's not for a human being who has a thought process and things behind him to be able to do. Granted, it seems painful. That doesn't mean that we're minimizing your pain. But it means think through what could be a reason when something like this happened. No one's going to answer the animal. And you right now, Eve, are acting like an animal. You're not acting with any sense. You're just saying, like, this doesn't make any sense to me. I agree with you. There are things that don't make sense. But that doesn't mean you have the right, or I don't want to say you don't have the right. The wrong thing to do is to act like an animal with the animalistic tendency of just screaming out loud and not thinking for a second. You should have thought about this first. I'm not saying that you'll come up with an answer, right? That's not the point. But that's not the way. Achshav lo yishma'el. For that type of an outcry, right, for nothing, God doesn't want to listen to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to see it. Even when you say, God doesn't see me, din lefanav, of course there's din in front of him, usacholo, and therefore you can hope to him. There's a possibility to be able to get through over here. And here is probably the biggest musar he's given to Eov up until now. Eov, I hear you. Your pain is great and everything has been there. But God gave us superior intelligence so that we don't just scream out loud, that we daven. That we daven. And we ask for it to go away. I've not yet heard you pray to God to ask it to go away. And again, we don't know every little detail. It could be that on the side, Eov was davening and doing whatever it was. Eliyahu's line is that I haven't seen it.
But that doesn't answer the question. Okay, fine, you haven't seen it. But let's say he has. Then what's your answer?
Then, meaning if Eov actually did it?
Yeah.
So I think the reason why it makes the Navi is because Eov didn't. I think that's the shot. Or if he did, he did it superficially,
right,
as
but
opposed
the, but,
to
right,
the real
but the,
type
but,
of
but, right, but the point, but I think his overall, that kind of like harms his own point. His own point is there is no, you know, rhyme or reason that you could think, that you could,
well,
your limited
you
knowledge,
it,
no. But if you dive it, no, not everybody who davens gets clarity.
You know, I think that's true, but I think there is a point to davening. Doesn't mean you're going to be answered, but there is a point to davening and you haven't done it yet. I'm not saying that that's going to be end. And in the end, obviously, that is what happens. You have Davins and he gets saved. But you're right. You're 100% right. That's a great point. We have to say, like, his point could not have been, and Davin, and therefore you'll be saved. I don't think he even says that. He just says, it's a cholola. You know, we were given that ability so that we could daven to him. So daven. If it works, great, and if not, not. But the idea is an animal outcry. That's a tefillah shav. That doesn't count as anything whatsoever. You have to do it in the right way. That's all. Ki'in pakadapo. But now that there is none, right? So a ki'ayin, when he doesn't see anything like that, pakadapo, now his anger is there. But lo yodat bapash ma'od, and he doesn't know. I don't know how to translate this. Do you have a translation? You have it over here. What's lo yodat bapash ma'od? Pasuk tezvav at the very, very end. He says over here, abundance, but I don't know how to say that over there.
If you do not know the vastness of your guilt.
The vastness of your guilt. So I'm going to read from Rav Schwab over here. He says, the word appears only here, the word bapash. That dagesh in the peh is the sign of the missing nun, making the original word nafish, which in Aramaic means increase or many.
Right. Mr. Tzion says ribui.
Reboy. So that makes sense. We can paraphrase the statement. He says like this, but now that there is no hope on your part, you're not waiting for God. God's anger has been directed to you. Then inside he says he doesn't know how much he could have accomplished. With this, he's saying that you have had an enormous opportunity to increase the amount of emunah in the world and didn't do so, and therefore God's anger is directed at him. You had a chance here, and you lost it. The Eov, right? Hevel Yiftzapiu. His mouth, all he does is brings out these words that aren't helping anybody whatsoever. Bivlidas milin yachbir. Without any knowledge, his words are not helping anybody. It's not doing anything for anyone. He's just complaining. An animal can do the same. That's the line that he's saying back. So again, Eliyahu is being harsh. He said he wasn't going to miss any words, but he's being overly harsh over here, but he's explaining to him. So he waited. Again, he waited. He looked and he said, okay, let's think. What's going to be over here? Is he going to give a line or whatever it is? When he didn't speak up, when Eliyahu sat there contemplating what Eliyahu was saying, but Yosef Eliyahu Vayomar. So Eliyahu got up and said a fourth speech. Katuli Ze'er. Bear with me a little bit longer. And I want to show you ki odla lo amilim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has words to tell you. There's going to be a little bit more to be able to tell you over here. It could be katuli ze'er v'achaveka is an actual Aramaic phrase that he was using over here. It certainly does not sound like a Hebrew word. Katarli, keser obviously is a crown.
Usually the Targum translates it into katarli amatein li, which is amatein in Hebrew is wait.
Yeah, so it could be that this is like a, what's it called? Like a phrase that they used to use, but I don't know. Kilo lo amilim.
Maybe Rashi says kulo l'shon aramihu.
Oh, that makes sense then. Okay. But he says, Esa de lemeira chayk, right? I'm going to lift my mind far away. I'm going to start telling you things that are not in this world. Meaning, up until now, I've been dealing with you. I've been dealing with your individual issues and the things that are there. But I want to do over this. Lefo ali etain tzedek. I want to give righteousness. I want to ascribe the right things over to the one who made me. Ki amnam lo shekhan yiloi. I want you to know that my words are not falsehoods. They're not filled with lies. Tamim deos imach, right? The one I'm an honest person. Tamim deos. Imach, I'm with you when it comes to this and understood. I think his main purpose over here, right, of what he's going to do over here is, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is truly just, then everything that you are complaining about should be eventually understood. And here in this world, we're not going to be able to get it. I don't think that's possible. But that a concept of tzaddik v'ra'lo, you know, there's something in Olam Haba, there is going to be something around here. So maybe he means, like, I'm going to look from afar. I'm not looking at this world anymore. I'm sort of looking at the next world. And somehow there's going to be something right. And there are people who understood this before you. Again, if we're dealing with Eve, who was living at the time of the Avos, Avram Yenu threw himself into the Kivshin Ha'esh, right? Or was willing to die for his belief. Not only that, he was willing to kill his child for his own beliefs, right? Because of his own beliefs, even though it went against everything he stood for and everything he used to tell people. He used to tell people that God doesn't want self-sacrifice, this is something that's pagan, this is a disgusting practice, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do it, and it would kill him. Not only would it kill him, it would destroy all of his life's work. Nobody would go with him anymore. And yet he was willing to do it. There's something behind all this. A person has to look afar to see, like, there's something beyond this world. The world couldn't have been made just for this. Hain el kabir v'lo yamas. This is a great line that's used regarding tefillah. Behold, God is very strong, as by the way, that is Allah Akbar, is the same words of Arabic instead of Arabic? Yeah, Arabic instead of Hebrew, but this is where it comes from. El kabir v'lo yamas, he does not despise. Kabir koach lev. He does not reject the strong of heart, those that are strong of heart over here, the power that a person has at his heart over here. It says the following. When you live to an older age, and Eliyahu was not there yet, Eliyahu was a young guy, but you live to a long age, then you might be able to see the justice in this world. So the likelihood is that you're never going to see it yourself. You might see little bits and pieces. You might see a Harvey Weinstein once in a while, get the justice that he somewhat deserves, maybe probably more than what he's going to get over here. But you'll see that a little bit. But you won't see it by everybody. You're not going to see it by every single person. Not always are you going to be able to see it. There was a chain of events that started by Yosef HaTzadik being sold into slavery by his brothers. And I don't think anybody really saw the end game that they could realize. There was certainly some, Yaakov Avinu certainly saw some of it. He knew he was going to go down to Mitzrayim in chains, and now he's going down to see his son, who's the king of Mitzrayim. That's a tremendous bracha. He knew he was going into Galus, he just didn't know how. This line over here is, Ein El Kabir, is that God rejects no one. There is no one out there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to completely reject, as opposed to a teacher or a friend. There are people that I don't want to say totally rejected in this world, but where I've said, like, I'm not going to hope for that person anymore. That person's not the person that I'm relying upon or the person that I'm going to be over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not feel that way. Chazal tell us is referring to tefillah b'tzibur, that when you have a tefillah that's done b'tzibur, lo yimas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never despise it. There's something powerful about everybody davening together
and doing it together. I mean, that's like a very negative term. Why would God despise any prayer? And what kind of like compliment is it? Like, God won't despise your prayer. Like,
I'm forgetting the wording. You're 100% right. There's a wording somewhere, and I'm trying to think if it's in Chumash where he says, "I don't despise you," and it's like taken as a bracha. It's in either Kisavo or Bechukosai, one of the curses. I hope I can find it.
Maybe what it's saying is that any misfortune, it's not a pun. It's not to destroy you.
It's not because he hates
what's it
you.
Called?
No, it's not because
you're
he
right,
hates you.
Yeah.
Hold on one second. I think it might be in Bechukosai.
Retribution.
It could be.
But it's out of love, and it's not out of...
out of hate. Yeah. Right. And therefore, it makes it very, very different in that way. Let's see if we have it over here. Yeah, I think it is over here, if I remember correctly. Here, this is it. Velo sigal nafshi eschem. I will not despise you. How is that a bracha? Everything else is unbelievable. There's great stuff here. V'achaltim yashan nosham, yashan minichad, shotziv, v'nasati mishkani b'solchem, and then v'isalachti b'solchem, v'isalachem l'elohim. Lo sigal nafshi eschem. What is that bracha? I don't remember. I remember I one time wanted to give a shir on it, and I started looking it up, and I only found one answer. It's like, well, I guess I'm not giving a shir on this one.
Really short shir.
Yeah, it was a really short shir. All right, guys, that's it. I don't know. I don't remember. I for sure have it in my notes somewhere. I just don't remember what it was. But I hear what you're saying. I think the line is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, everything we do, like, it's not worth it. It's almost like it's not enough. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't despise it, even if we do it in the wrong way. If you have a bunch of 10 people, I don't want to disparage anything or say anything bad. You have a minion of people that get in together. They daven in 6 minutes flat. They're davening in Minchah, and they're like, they're going through.
But why should that be a negative?
Because sometimes doing something in the wrong way is worse than not doing it all. I'm not saying that you shouldn't daven if you're going to daven. I'm just saying sometimes when a person does the wrong thing, it can be worse than doing it
right,
not
but
at
what
all.
If you thought about it as, all right, these people were very busy. They took 6 minutes out of their day to daven.
So I think that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means. Some people would look at that and despise it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't despise it.
So what about somebody who doesn't have a minion but still takes 6 minutes out of his day to daven?
I think it's the same thing. Oh, well, maybe specifically Tefillah B'Tzibur? I think Tefillah B'Tzibur is a special minion.
No, fine. But
I hear what you're saying.
But
you're
saying a single person who doesn't have a minion shouldn't daven.
I don't think that's I don't think it's a raya against. The pshat is that many people joining in a Tzibur makes it more powerful, even though there's bad things among it.
Right, but this is only guaranteeing...
Honestly, it could be that an individual might be expected to do something, and if he doesn't do it in that way, yes, there's something that you'll get for it. I'm sure there's something over there, but it might be a despicable davening. There are such things as despicable davenings, right? I don't know. I don't want to give examples. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not the greatest davening.
Right? Yeah, I don't want to say that either. Yeah.
What?
I don't want to say it to myself because maybe I'll say something. I'll be like if a person did this, and I'm like, oh, wait, I just did that yesterday. Like, I don't want to say that, but like...
Right, but I figure, like, it'd probably be better for me to do the, minute and a half Shemona Esrei than the
rather than not do it at all.
Right.
I hear you in that way. Maybe there's something... Okay, so don't think the minute and a half Shemona Esrei. Think of something a little bit different. Daven Shemona Esrei, the entire time you're thinking about, I don't know, shooting aliens in a video game.
That I could guarantee you, I don't think I've ever had in a Shemona Esrei.
I've had a lot of... Every kid here. career has had. But either way, regardless, I can't give an example. But I think that's what it means. No matter what happens in a tzibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't despise it. Lo yechaye rasha, right? He doesn't give life to a rasha. U'mishpat aniyim yitain. And he gives the mishpat to the aniyim. Again, we don't know when. We don't know how. We don't even know where. We don't know if that's this world or the next world or whatever it is. But there's no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing that in that way. Lo yigra mitzadikein. If he does not remove his eyes from the tzadikim. That's Malachim Lakise, and he sits down the kings in their throne for quite a bit, and he raises them up. He's paying attention to these rulers and letting them rise higher and higher. It could be that it's a reference to the tzaddik himself, that the tzaddik, he allows them to go higher and higher and makes sure that things are happening. Maybe the tzaddik is the ruler, right? Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Mi moshel bi tzaddikim," that tzaddikim are able to be moshel bi, they're able to rule over me. "Mi masurim bazikim," if people are tied up in chains, "yilachtum b'chavlioni," and they're captured by the ropes of pornis, "v'agilam pa'wam," then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them what they need to do, "pishem fi ki yiskabaru," and that their sins, sometimes it's because their sins have become too strong. Now, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell them this? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a message. Unfortunately, a lot of those messages happen through Yisurin, and maybe that's the Zikim, when a person feels chained down, like, well, how can I not get out of this chain of poverty that I'm in? Why can't I get out of it? Perhaps, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying it's something that needs correction, and the only way for him to show it to him is by giving Yisurin, maybe even Dafka in that place. I don't want to give examples of this, but the great Hasidim used to say, you know, that when a certain part of your body was hurting, it's because of a certain sin that you weren't paying attention to. I'll give an example. The Arizal once told somebody whose shoulder was hurting him. He said, "Your issue is that you're not benching immediately after doing Mayim Achronim." How many people do Mayim Achronim? But he said, that's the reason why. And he said, this is the Arizal, "Takeif l'netila bracha," that immediately after doing the bracha of Netila Sidayim, of Mayim Achronim, you do the bracha of benching. Others say it's referring to Berachas Kohanim, but it's that. He said, "Takeif is the letters of Kasif, of shoulder." It takes an Arizal to do something like that, right? But maybe there's something like that when a tzaddik is getting something. You look at a guy like Yosef Atzaddik, you see that the extra 2 years that were added on for something that he did, the 10 years that he had before that, he's in jail for 12 years. Yosef Atzaddik is in jail for 12 years. And honestly, when you come out from it and you ask, so why did that happen? So what did Chazal say? For the 10 drops of Shechva Zera that he lost when he thought about Ashes Potiphar. 10 years in jail for something that wasn't even his fault? One could consider him almost like an anus? I don't understand.
Well, those 10 guys years. Have no margin for error.
So you're right. But it is a good example because it shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, he's looking at everybody, and maybe Yosef knew, maybe he didn't. It's possible he never knew. There is a Chidush Arim that says that Yosef Atzadik, and that 2 years, after the 2 years were up, he was done. According to the Chidush Arim, that night he decided, I'm waking up in the morning and I'm no longer going to keep it. I'm done.
Keep what? He's in jail.
Do whatever, you know, whatever it was that Yaakovinu had with him. Whatever the tzidkus that he had, that he kept from Yaakovinu's house, he was done. He was from then on going to act like an Egyptian, be an Egyptian, and that's it. Says the Chidush Arim. And the next morning at dawn, he's run out of jail, gets his haircut, does everything, and goes in front of the king 5 minutes later. Like, right after he makes the decision, that's it, I'm out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's like, yanks him out. This is Chidush Arim. The concept that he's trying to bring up is clear that when a person feels down and out, at that moment when you're mamish on the very, very bottom, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lift you up and help you
similar,
out.
Similar, once happened to me, very similar.
Yeah.
Not like, obviously that, but...
You're thrown in jail for 12 years?
No, I was literally going to quit a job. And that night, I started applying to different ones, and the next morning, I got promoted, and I was like, all right, forget it.
Look at that.
I was done.
No, it's amazing. Man, it's really amazing. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. It says, "Vayigal azon the musr." So he uncovers their ear, he opens up their ear for them to hear the musr correctly. "Vayomer ki yeshuvim me'aven." And he does this, he says it to them, so that they return from doing these sins. "Im yishmu v'yavodu yichal yimeim." If they listen to the servant, they'll live out their lives. "Batoyif," everything will be good. "Ushneim bani'imim." And again, their years and pleasantness. Again, this is not a guarantee. He's just saying, if I'm looking from afar, this is what I would assume is going to happen. "Vim lo yishmu," and if they don't listen, "b'shelach yavoru," then of course they'll perish by the sword. "V'yigvu b'flidos," they'll die because they didn't want to have that knowledge. "The chanfei lev," and those who are flatterers, the people that act as flatterers, they go up to other people, hypocrites really. "Yesimoaf," they draw anger, they're able to give anger. "Lo yeshabu ki asaram," they don't even cry out when he chains them, because he realizes what they realize what they did wrong. Those people, right, they believe right? That their suffering is just doesn't make any sense. They just go about their days. Tamos banor nafsham, they die in their childness, in their immaturity. V'chayosim b'kadeshim, their lives expire among the kadeshim. This is not kadosh. The kadeshim is really the prostitutes and the harlots, right? Things like that. They die young, unrepentant, as if there's nothing there. Again, this is the world that I would see, right, in a normal fashion, as long as everything goes in the way that whatever it is. Sometimes we'll see it. If we live a long, long time, maybe we'll see it quite often. And not always. Not always. Not always are we going to be able to see such things. Yechalitz ani banyo, he'll strengthen the poor person while he's poor, right? Even in his poverty. V'yego v'lachat soznam. And he uncovers their ear by that oppression. Perhaps when they're poor, they realize what they've been doing wrong and something that they should be working on. I remember at one point, I started being careful about one thing, right? I forgot what it was. I don't remember if it was the crumbs that I was worried about or something else that I was concentrating on. Maybe it was poseach z'yedecha that I started concentrating on. Where I said, like, you know, I'm not doing it correctly. I know that I'm not making it through the months. Granted, as a rabbi, that's normal, right? But you're sitting there and like not making it through the month. So what's happening over here? So I concentrated on something. And then afterward, things were better. Got better. I don't know if I got a raise then or if it was whatever. I don't know what happened. But at the end of the day, things went a little bit farther. Maybe I didn't have
Rabbi the Reform Shul.
Rabbi Reform Shul. Halavai. Then there's no problems, right? Then everything should be okay. No, I just took on another three jobs. That's fine. Work on Shabbos. Work on during my breaks. You know, why not? Vav hasiska mi pitzor. And then he has lured you away from a narrow opening. Tzor rachav lo mutzak. He says a way which then widens and then there's nothing, no foundation underneath it. The nachas shulchanacham maledashen, that which is set upon your table is filled with abundance. All of a sudden, once you start realizing, like, oh, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lure you, like, bring you a little bit to exactly where you need to go. And maybe Tzadik realizes exactly what he needs to be. And that's the idea. He says, the way that every person has their thing, what they need to do. It's possible that what you need to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring you in the right position. You just got to keep your eyes out and look for it. Maybe it's right there. Maybe that's the thing that you need to do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring it right there in front of you. I can't speak for any other person. I have never applied for a job in my life. Never applied for one. I've been given jobs one after the other. And it's just because at some point you daven, you sit there, and like whatever. And I am unbelievably lucky, and I attribute it to the tzidkus of my wife, because it's certainly not my davening. But I've never, ever applied to a job. And the truth is, my wife really hasn't either. It's been a really lucky day. I'm not saying that I have a great job or that I get paid awesomely. But I do enjoy what I do. So that seems to be pretty good when it goes through. You can't complain. Like, I actually like what I'm doing, even though I'm busy. So that's the way you go. Vidin Rasha Milesa. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu has completed, you've completed that judgment of the wicked person, Dinu Mishpat Yismohu. Then all these things, sort of like once you see what happens, you realize, like, oh, wow, it really supports you. Kichema Pen Yisischa. For anger, it might. You know, convince you, might seduce you, besuffic, right? Because there's so much of it. V'rav koyfer al yateka, the great ransom. It shouldn't go anywhere near you. So his message to you was something was lacking by you. You had so much. You had so much until you were 70 years old. You never had a bad day in your life. Everything was going well. Everything you did was successful. Remember we said all the great things, his social standing, his wealth, his family, everything was going unbelievable. And it was precisely because of that that Eve was in great danger. When a person sees that nothing's going wrong, and everything's been unbelievable, you got to start asking yourself, do I really deserve this? Is this something that I deserve, or is this an unbelievable gift, or is God getting me ready for a setup? Setting me up for
that?
Something.
Yeah, 100%. 40 days, but it's like 40 days of like nothing wrong.
7 days without a dream. That's the line. Sheva yalin bal tifkad ra.
I thought it was 40 yalin. Days of no Yisurim at all.
There is something about that. I don't remember where that Gemara is, but the Gemara in Brachos, right toward the end around Nundalit, is the literal translation of Visaveya Yalin, when you're satisfied and you're full, Bal Yifka Ra, nothing bad can happen to you. But the Gemara Darshan's Visheva Yalin, if you go to sleep for 7 days without Bal Yifkad and you're not visited by a dream, Ra. That's bad for a person.
I mean, how many people remember their dreams?
I don't think it's remember. You don't have a dream.
So how do you know?
I don't know. I honestly, it must be different back then when people slept at normal times. They didn't go to bed at like 1 a.m. and wake up at 5. Like, it's a different world back then, I think. I don't know. But it was. He said, and Rav Schwab says it, and it makes sense. There's like a kofra going on. There's a ransom. You thought your money would be able to buy you out of everything. Can't. Your money can't buy you out of anything. And it's because you didn't have any problems that you should have realized that wealth and good fortune and everything was going to seduce you, that something has to happen. There's going to be something. And when Eve didn't realize that, that was a little bit different. Now, it was good. Eve did something great after the first parak when he lost everything. It just didn't hit his body yet. He did say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem nasan Hashem lakach, which is something that we use even today. God giveth, God taketh, right? Those types of things are right over there. He knew there was something, but unfortunately, there was something that was missing, just a little bit, and that's what Eliyahu was telling him now. There was something there. Hayaruch shuacho. Would your happiness have any value, lo vitzar, without any suffering there? And that's something that I tell people all the time. I think suffering makes you appreciate the good when you actually have it. When a person doesn't suffer, they don't know what they're missing. They just have that expectation that everything's going to be status quo and remain that way. You need a little bit of suffering in order to appreciate the good. I don't know if that's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes people pregnant with such pain and then gives birth to the child. I don't know if that's on the same concept, but it certainly seems that way. The appreciation that you have for the child is the relief after everything is said and done. It seems like that's the idea behind it. Welcome, David. He says, "V'chol ma'amatzei koach," for all the strenuous efforts that you put forth. And I think we understand this. The more work you put towards something, when you succeed in the end, it feels so much better than when it just happens on its own. When it's a lazy thing, and like, oh, it happened, okay. Al tishaf alayla. Don't wish for the night. La'alos amim tachtom. That all nations should cease to exist. In other words, that your enemies should just be destroyed. Don't wait for it and say, like, I can't wait till all the Arabs are destroyed and then we can go back to Eretz Yisrael. That's not what you should wait for.
Do something better than killing yourself.
Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. But don't get involved in stuff like that. Hishomer, be careful. Al tapen eleven. Don't turn to those ideas that are out there. Kiel zebachar tamioni. Because you have to choose concerning this, right, getting out of your affliction. Because of your affliction, you have to start thinking about what you got to do. Hein el yaskiv b'kocho. Behold, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such a tower when it comes to the power that he wields. Mika mo umora. Who else is going to be a teacher like this? Who can teach like this? I'm telling you, as a teacher, it is true. You get your students to work hard, and then when you actually do something good, they realize, like, oh, like, he knows how to chill out as well. And one of the best compliments that the high schoolers have given me so far, they're just like, Rabbi, you make us work really, really hard, but you also know how to chill out when we need to. You know when to do the little bit of batala when we have it. That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. No kid can learn for 3.5 hours straight, right? So you have to be able to find that time where you can add in the learning together with a little bit of batala to make sure that they have, right, exactly what they need. But when it boils down to it, you get over a certain amount of time. Once we hit that 2-minute, 3-minute mark, whatever it is, it's like, all right, back to business. Let's go. I'm not beating them to death. That's a little bit different. But, you know, the concept is that's the way a teacher should be. Me pocket a love darko. Who is going to pocket a love to speak to God about his ways? Mi omar pa'al to avla. Who is going to say, you've done something wrong? Zechor, remember. Kisaski pa'alo. When you raise up his work, asher shoru anashim, that people can see. And in other words, when you go through, you think you can criticize. Lift up and see what he's done. Look at the great things that God has done in all this. Kol adam chazuvo. Every people sees it. Enosh yabi merachok. People can see it all from afar. They know that there's things going on and this greatness that's out there. And now he gets into something which we all know is there. Hein el sagi. Behold, the Almighty is great. God is great. V'lo neda. We have no idea. Mispar shana v'lo cheker. The amount of years are obviously something that we can't investigate. If somebody would ask me the question, how long does a Kadosh Baruch Hu exist? How long will he exist? For. There's nothing I can even imagine as an answer to that question. How do you answer the question of years by someone who has no time? Something that has no time.
You explain infinity.
Okay. Do you explain infinity? Or it just is what it is?
Not really.
Right, you can't. There's no way to do it.
Who knew infinity?
Who knew infinity? What is that?
It's a story.
It's a movie?
No, it's a true story. It's based on a true story.
He didn't see a man that knows infinity.
I know. I just realized it's a movie. I didn't know there's a movie. The man who knew infinity. Is it the car? Like
he designed the car.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Was it a good? What's it about?
It's about some
mathematician,
math genius from India who gets discovered. He's trying to send his stuff to Cambridge, and finally they take him. He has to overcome racism and disease and everything to publish his math theorems.
Okay, at least that is not.
No. Tell us the ending first, and then tell. Yeah, go ahead. I'm probably not going to see it. I'm going to be okay. Right, but the concept is that there's nothing to even talk about. How do you explain the word infinity to someone? I can't do it. I certainly can't do it. But that's the idea, right? Mortal men can see from afar. Adam can really see this. And he says, "Ki yigara nitve mayim," for he draws drops of water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls out those drops of water. Yazoku mater leido. They become purified as rain in its cloud itself. There's something here, something around. He says, "Asher yizlu shchakim." The skies drip with it. Yirafu ale adam rav. They shower upon many, many men. This chachma that he allows us to have, this ability to understand little bits and pieces. Afim yavin mifrase of. Right, even if he understands the spreading of the clouds, shuos sukaso, then the I don't know what shuos is. Shuos is like something like you speak out loud in some way. Sukaso of the covering that's there. He parasol of oro, he spreads his light. Some say his rain above it. The shorsha yam kisan covers up the roots of the oceans themselves. Kivam yadin amin, because by them he judges nations. Yitin ochel achbir, and gives food to everyone that needs it. Now again, I don't know how these psukim go through, to be honest with you. I think they're just going through the greatness of God in poetry and poetic language like we've seen before. I don't think there's anything specific that goes on over here. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I just don't understand it entirely. But it says, al kapayim kisa or, he covers his handiwork with either his light or the rain. Vaitzavaleb b'mafkia, and he commands it concerning the pagoa, the strike that he goes through. Maybe this is a reference to like the strike of lightning in the midst of the rain, and he has specific places where he goes through. Maybe it's referring to energy and how energy goes through within all of the connection over here. Maybe it's all like a study of science that like when it comes to rain, right, it's impossible for us to know completely, and therefore rain needs some form of tefillah for it to go through. Maybe that's what it means by mafgia. The only way that rain really comes down is if we're mafgia for it, if we daven for it. Vayifka bo b'makom means he davened in that place. Maybe that's the reference over here. I don't know. Yagid alav reyo, his friend testifies on it. And the friend over here is referring to the friends of nature, the phenomena of nature over here. Mikne af al ole, right? So they, I guess they, what's the line over here? Mikne af, they can, I don't even know. Mikne, Rashi said, the Rashab says, owned property, af al ole. Even that which is higher. I don't even know how to translate these words. How does the art school translate this?
Does the herd and even the day.
Wait, I'm sorry, what? What does it say it again?
It's thunder announces it, as does the herd and even the dam.
The D-A-M?
Yeah.
The dam? I don't even know what that means.
The Targum says, Kina Atah, from Kina, Viruza, and anger upon him will be. Meaning, his friend will talk about him and have jealousy and anger.
But who?
What is it referring to?
I don't know what this is referring to over here.
How is it translated in English?
It sounds better the way the art school translates it.
What does it say?
He says like this, his friend testifies about it, owned property, even that which is still higher. That doesn't even make any sense to me. Nah. This is like one of those, I'm sure it's a reference to the greatness of God, and that's what he's trying to say over this, and that's that. But now, yeah, what's up?
It says over here, it explains that if an animal could tell before it comes that there's a...
Oh, that's a good call. I get it.
Pregnant or nursing females sense an impending storm before humans do.
So that's what it is, Yakid of Lareo. When you see these storms, okay, there is truth behind this statement. I don't remember the huge tsunami that came on Thailand maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, animals are all new.
The animals all knew. The elephants all knew. Like they were all like moving around. Like I read somewhere that all these elephants were chained up. They were like used for tourists and whatever it is, and they all broke the chains and ran away. And all the people there had no idea what was going on. They chased after the elephants, and that's when the tsunami came. Maybe, you know, an hour later, whatever it was, and they were all high enough that they weren't hit by the tsunami. But the area that they were in was destroyed. I mean, it's, listen, that makes sense. Like, there's something behind what the animals know that even we cannot tell, that we have no idea. And it makes sense. There are certain things that we can't hear, we can't feel, but they do. They feel it. They hear it. Right, that idea behind it. So now, the last thing that Elio says, this is the last part that we have over here. Now he's going on. Well, I just spoke about the greatness of God. I spoke about what I see as the far-off plan of what God is, and sometimes we'll see it, sometimes we won't. And this, he says, now let me just tell you what I feel about God, and I think this is like the end of where he wants to go. I want to tell you that even this, my heart trembles. It like leaps from its place itself. Listen carefully to the anger of God's voice. The Hegem BPVHA, the sound that comes out from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. This seems to be, it's referring to a thunderclap. Listen to the thunder as it comes down when it goes through. Now listen to this line that Rav Schwab said. Rav Schwab quotes Rav Yerucham Levavitz. Rav Yerucham Levavitz was the Mir Mashkiach. back in Mir in Europe. He says that when one hears that awe-inspiring, the mighty clap of thunder in the sky, you're naturally moved to make a bracha. Shekocho u'gvuraso maleolam, that his koch and his gvura, his maleolam is there. And you feel like God's power in this universe. Said Yerucham, Rev Yerucham, that's simplistic, that's childish, and a purely emotional response. That's the idea of like, oh wow, that's power. Kochu u'gvuraso maleolam. He says the true mammon sees the same power and strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every drop of water and every molecule of air. He'll make the bracha on the water, shakol nivro, that everything, with the same enthusiasm that he does for a loud clap of thunder. That's the idea.
So
he
why
says,
is the language not the same?
So he says the following. He says he would say that when the unschooled mind looks at the world, it looks like the world is a little nebbish. You know, it's like, it's not whatever, dull, uninteresting, it's just whatever place. But if a person knew what happens behind the molecules, really looking into what happens in water and atom of milk, you'll see the same strength ever. Therefore, when you hear the clap of thunder and make the bracha, it does not mean simply that the thunder is a manifestation of God's power. Everything is a manifestation of God's power. And in fact, man's explosions can be louder than lightning. What was it? In Seattle, they made a record for the amount of noise that they had at a playoff game not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
I think in Kansas City also, they were making records. Right, that it sounded like the greatest things.
It's on the Richter scale.
It's crazy. So we can do better than a thing of lightning. So that's even more than us. Rather it means, no, but it means the loud, the you know, how loud it is. Rather it means when you experience something unusual, like the loud clap of thunder close to us, as if it's like so shocking, whatever, it serves to awaken our consciousness to the abilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in this world, and that the whole world is a manifestation of the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think that's why it's different. Because when I take a drink of water, yes, I should concentrate more. But when I hear that clap of thunder, it's not about the thunder. It's about everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. And it's a reminder that I get once in a world, and that's what I mean. Shekochu grosso mali olam, not just in that. In everything. I think that's what it means to say.
It's more of a wake-up call.
It's maleolam. Yeah, a wake-up call, but for specifically. So I'm not making the shekochu gvuraso maleolam on the lightning and thunder. That's on the thunder. That's not what I'm doing it on. I'm doing it on the world at large that is filled with the gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the koach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the reminder of that is the thunder that comes down. That's a great, it's a great line from that. And that's what he's saying over here, V'hagim P'vietze. Tachas kol ha-shamayim, underneath all of the heavens, Yishreyu, he brings it down, V'or al kamfos haaretz, and he brings down that lightning, the light upon all the ends of the world. Achrav yishag kol, and after that, the sound roars, the thunder goes. Yarim b'kol ga'ono, it thunders in the power of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. Li akvem ki yishma kolo. He doesn't withhold them when his voice is heard. I don't know exactly what that means. He doesn't prevent them. He allows it to be heard as powerful as it is. Right? He wants it to be heard there. Yarem El, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thunders Bekolo Niflaos with his voice, these huge wonders. He thunders down with these wonders in this world. And he says, Oseh Gedolos V'lo Nedah. He does great things, and we don't always know everything that he does when it comes to these types of things. I mean, the way we look at it is like each clap of thunder and each thing of lightning, right, is specifically there for one thing. I remember one time where I have a tree in my back, the three-pronged tree, right? So two of the trunks are already taken down, but there was a three-pronged tree in the backyard of my house where it's like one, two, three. So we had to cut down one in order to get the sukkah, and then we had two left. So lightning came one night. You heard it. We were in bed. It was maybe 3 a.m, and it was just boom, and it like almost rocked the house. A tree down the street, the exact same tree as mine, was knocked down by the lightning, by the lightning, whatever, that came down and hit it, and the thunder obviously came at the exact same time, split it, and like half the tree was completely gone. And I woke up, I ran downstairs, I saw what had happened, and I'm just like, why wasn't it my tree?
Why would you want it to be your tree?
I wanted to get rid of the tree.
Oh,
instead,
the whole tree.
Instead, I had to spend $1,200 to get rid of the other, you know,
yeah,
the other
trunk.
You
still have to get rid of it if it just, I mean, they'll still be lying there.
Yeah, but at least it'll be cheaper. They're going to be chopping it on the ground instead of right there. It, like, gives me an excuse. I was like, it was not even like 40 feet away. Like, why couldn't it have been right here, right? That each thing has it right over there. So make it the other way. Okay, make it go the other way. I'm okay with that. Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Why can't it be that way? But we don't know. We have no idea. Kila Shelig, this is a great line over here. Kila Shelig, when it comes to snow, Yomar Hadayaretz, he says, come down to the earth. The Geshem Matar, Geshem Mitros Uzo, as well as the land, the rain that comes down, the rain, Mitros Uzo, Chazal say a tremendous thing over here. Geshem Matar, 1, 2. Geshem is 3. Mitros, 4, 5. Chazal say that a snow upon the land is as good as 5 rains upon the land. five rainfalls has the same power as one thing of snow, one big thing of snow. I guess because it insulates the ground, allows it to stay warm while the water moisture goes straight inside it. It doesn't evaporate quickly. I guess that's the concept behind it. Right, slowly getting into the ground, aside from all the benefit that you get from snow itself, but that's the concept behind it. Rain is something special. Now, he says, Rishab says, there's a difference between Geshem and Mutter. He says it basically comes from Rav Hirsch. He says Geshem is ordinary rain that is condensation of water vapor in the air, etc. Mutter is coming down for a special purpose. So we have that over there. That's the idea behind it. So he says the following. He says, therefore, when the rainy season in Eretz Yisrael starts, we say Morid HaGeshem, because that's the normal rain that we end up bringing down. We say Gvuras Gishamim, but when we ask for rain, we specifically ask the same Tal Umator Livracha, because we want a specific rain that goes in certain places. We want the natural rains that are going to come naturally within the nature of the world, and we want Mutter to specifically come according to what we have, this specific rain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he calls it, a benevolent rain, so to speak.
So the rain is more of a natural rain.
The Geshem is. Mutter is something different. Mutter is something specific.
Yeah, I'm saying when you're saying Mashi Ruah, and that's why when saying it, it's not considered maskirin. It's
just maskirin Gvurat Hashamim, not asking. Yeah, because you're saying let's let the rain come normally. Also, at the beginning of the pasuk, Kila Shelig Yomar Havei Aretz, this line is used by Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer for a very, very awesome medrash. He says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, this is what it says, he pulled snow out from underneath the Kisei HaKavod, spread it on the ground, and created the world. Unbelievable, right? So I heard it explained once by Rabbi Schuster, who used to be a Rebbe here in Yeshiva years ago. No, never the first Schusterman. He was a tremendous tzaddik. Unfortunately, I never got to see him. But Rabbi Schuster, Rameir Schuster, he was a Rebbe in that Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that had a college connected to it. I forgot what it was. I don't know, in Har Nof, right around there. But he was a tremendous... Oh, now he's a Rebbe in Chappelle's, Darchei Noam. Chappelle's is at... Machon Lev is where he was, right. He's now in Chappelle's. But he told me, such an unbelievable...
Machon Lev's in Bai Vegan.
Sorry, it's up there. That's right.
Somehow I guessed it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That's why.
Amazing. But he what's it called? So Rebbe Schuster told me, Sheleg is a unique word. Shin, Lamed, Gimel are all threes. 330 and 3. So what's the pshat behind 3? Where does 3 come from? She said, 1 is chesed, 2 is gvura, 3 is rachamim. It's the combination of chesed and gvura together. Sheleg is an unbelievable thing. It's not water, which would be considered like chesed, which it goes into whatever you need it to go into. You want it in a box? It's in a box. You want it in a cup? It's in a cup. You want it whatever? It goes into whatever. It's not like ice, which is solid, and you can't do anything with it. It's a solidish, liquidish, where you can move it around. It's almost like Play-Doh, obviously. You can move it around. It's solid, but it's also movable, and it can melt into that. It's the combination of both. He calls it, he said, Sheleg is tremendous chesed for the world, and he went into the whole chesed of whatever, but it also is din, because it also causes things to stop, and doesn't let you go through. It doesn't allow you to whatever. But his concept was, is that the world was created not with chesed and not with din, but the combination of both, rachamim. And that's what it means, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reached under his Kisei HaKavod and pulled out rachamim and created the world, not with din, not with chesed, but with a combination of both, with rachamim. And that's what it means, that he made it out of snow. Tremendous idea, tremendous idea. He went on, he used that to be able to explain.
Isn't rachamim closer to chesed than to din? Because the whole idea of rachamim is just to have mercy. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to be nice.
No, but rachamim is the combination of chesed and gvura.
How?
Because chesed alone, can, to an extreme, can also be bad.
He's right about that. He's chesed in the wrong way.
Also,
you have to have somebody like they call it Tiferes in the in the Sphiros world.
Right.
You have to have somebody like Rabbi Raka to understand that. That's Tiferes. So Rachamim is Tiferes. It shows the beauty of whatever it is, the pure beauty of what you have there. When you have Din and Chesed together and you use it properly in the right amount, each one, you have a beautiful, amount of Rachamim. That's what Sheleg is supposed to be. Sheleg is everything all together. It's interesting. He went on, he said, Barich is the 222. Then he goes on, he went down about that. There's no, he couldn't think of the ones. Kuf Yod Aleph, I don't know what word that would be. Kia. Oh, the Kia is a great car, I guess, but that would be that. I don't know, but he went on about that. It's an interesting line over here. So look what it says. Biyad kol adam yachtom. So it's in the hand of every man to seal. Ladas kol anshei maaseihu. Every man knows their thing, their verdict, what they have over there. There you go. Look at that. Right? But it says every person has that over here. Now, this is an amazing line. Every time a person goes to sleep at night, Chazal tells us that he goes up in his dream and he writes down everything that he did. He's put down in front of him and said, this is what you did, this is what you did, this is what you did. And you have to sign it. You have to write down at the bottom of it, this is what I did. B'yad kol adam yachtom. It is sealed by the hand of man himself. L'das kol anshim aseu, that every man knows exactly what he's doing. V'tavo chaya b'ma'arev. And then the beast comes into his hiding place. V'monoset tishkon. It lies down in its area, like because it can't go out in the rain. It can't go out in the snow and whatever it is. Min acheder tavo sufa. From the chamber of whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this, the storms come out. Min mizarim kara. From Mizarim, I don't even know how to translate that word over here. Maybe an area called Mizarim, maybe it's something like that, right? Then comes Sa'ara, the storms, the hurricanes, and whatever it is, the evil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes through there. Minishmas el yiten karach. From the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he allows there to be ice in the world. Baruch of mayim v'mutzak. And the breadth of water, the width of water, becomes solidified. It becomes something that's absolutely solid over here. There's some type of, you know, something that's there. I think this is all referring to something that's dangerous, or something that's powerful. Af bri, even in a clear day, yatriach av, he burdens the clouds, yafitz anan oro, and the cloud spreads its light or its rain about to allow it to go through. A violent rainstorm can come out of a clear blue sky. Of course, Chazal darshan from over here, that af bri is the name of the Malach of rain. I don't know if any, or maybe the Malach of clouds, if anybody remembers from Tfilas Geshem. Tfilas Geshem, we said, did you start him say it?
Not like you guys.
You don't have Af Bri? That's not part of the poetry that you have for there?
I don't know the whole thing by heart, but it doesn't stick out in my mind.
It doesn't stick out. It's the very first word, actually, in our Tfilos. It goes, let me see if I can find
it. No, it's not the
first
word.
I don't listen to, because the rabbi starts, and I'm like, oh, no, he started. And then,
then he's done 2 seconds later.
You finish it quickly? Really?
No. We say it before Shmona Esrei. We do it. But no, not like them. They take like six. They take an hour. Open the Aron in the middle of Chazar HaShatz.
No,
an hour.
Five minutes.
No, but it's in the middle of Chazar HaShatz, and you open the Aron.
Yeah, but it's not long. It's definitely not long. Yeah, I don't think it's something like that. Where is it? Right. It's right after this.
I just remember one time being.
No.
Yeah, I know.
This was Hoshana Rabbah. I thought it would be over here.
After
I thought it was after Shlosh Regalim,
yeah.
Right?
This year I was at
Tfilas Geshem.
Here. Quickly, I'll take you.
It says right here, Af Bari, no, Utas really Shem Sarmata. You don't say this? Af Bari is placed as the name of the angel of rain.
No,
You've heard Abri, though?
Yeah,
yeah, that's the word that we use over here. Referring to Abri, it's based on this pasuk. Obviously, Abri means even on a clear day, but it's the reference to the name of the Malach itself. He says, V'humisibos misapech b'tachbulosav. The weather turns. All these things can happen. L'fa'olam to their ways, kol asher yitzaveim al p'nei tzevel artzo. Everything that corresponding, he commands them upon the face of the earth itself. Avigdor Miller is very into saying that one of the big proofs, he said this obviously 35 years ago, right, when he wrote his books, when Rejoice, O Youth, he said one of the proofs that there is a God in this world is the weather patterns, which can be predicted but are never 100%. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything at any time, that whatever they predict is going to happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change it at any point, which is an amazing
proof,
thing.
I mean, it's
he likes nice, saying it like, as a, yeah, he likes saying it as a proof that there's something behind that's beyond what science can understand.
Irrefutable.
I think it is really good, though. I always like seeing it. Like, the meteorologists are amazing. They do absolutely amazing things. But it's so crazy how, in a moment, everything changes. You can't figure it out. Of course, they can still tell hurricanes and earthquakes from, you know, for...
Earthquakes
are
foresee.
Very quick, right? You can only foresee it about, you know, like, you can get 20 minutes in.
Really?
Yeah, they can tell that. Because they see the little bit of tremors before the real tremor happens.
Really?
They don't know for sure.
Well, maybe it's only in oceans. Maybe they know from the
tsunamis,
oceans.
Tsunamis, they know
Yeah,
that.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's what they can do. But
it can be as quick as like 30 seconds.
And that. And they
and the coastal, through. You go to California, they have like tsunami warning systems where like if there's an earthquake in the ocean, they can
they'll
sound
know
the alarm
when something happens. Amazing. Yeah, that's the thing out there. You know, it could be a punishing rod. It could be for the land. Or it could be for chesed. Hazina zos Iyuf. Listen, Iyuf. Amod v'isponei niflos el. Stand up and understand the wonders of God. Hased v'suma lo aleihem. Do you understand? Do you know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his command upon him? Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it? V'ofior anano. And allowed the rain to come through that cloud. Hased al miflosei of. I'm sorry. Do you understand about the balancing of the clouds? Miflos tamim deim. The wonders of the one who is absolutely perfect. Hashem begadecha chamim. Your garments feel warm, right? Bahashkit eretz midorom. When he quiets the earth from the south. I guess this means from the southern winds that are brought up. I guess from the oceans that bring them up from the south. I guess that's what it means. Terkiyam olishkakim. Actually, if it's an Eretz Yisrael, obviously the the what's called the wind from the south would bring the warm air from the equator.
Right.
So that would make more sense. Yeah, why it's going to be the way. Right, we're not talking about currents, because there would be no currents through the Mediterranean Sea, I don't think. Tarkia yimo lushkakim. Can you spread out the rakia, right, for all the skies? Kazakim kirei mutzak. As strong as a molten mirror is something that's down there. Hodienu manom alo. Right, now tell us, what are we really going to say to God? Lo naruch mibnei choshech. There's no way we can contend because we're in the dark. We have no idea what's going on. Hey, superloki adaber. Is it necessary to even speak to him? Im amar ish kiyavula. Can a person speak when he's being destroyed, when he knows he's going to die soon? And the truth is, Eov already said all this. He said, I know that can't be. I still want an answer. He already said, I know how great God is. But, you know, he's saying, batalo ro or. And now, they haven't seen the light, or they haven't seen the rain. Bayer hu, it's clear, bashchakim. But ruach avra, a wind goes through. Right, a wind goes through over here, right, batitarein, and all of a sudden everything is cleared up. Mitzafon zahav yaseh, from the north comes the gold itself. It's kind of weird what this means over here, but possibly it means, right, that there is no more doubts. Everything will be crystal clear. That, I guess, when all the clouds will have been removed, and the golden rays will be shown from up there.
Why from the north?
I don't know. Maybe because they're in the northern hemisphere. And they're thinking, like, that's where, you know, the sun is in the south, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appear from the north? I don't know. But he says when there's no more evil, there's no more doubts, maybe tzafun is the right word, from the hidden, Zav Yaseh will be able to see the gold, the greatness, ala loa norahod, on the awesome majesty of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Shaddai lumetzanuhu, right? We have never found God. Sagi koyach, the great power that he has, umishpat, and the judgments of Rote Tzedakah, Lo Yaneh, as well as the abundant of justice, he will never oppress others. Lachain, Yireyuhu Anashim, and therefore, men should all fear him. Lo Yira Kol Chachmai Lev. Even all of the wise heart will never be able to see everything. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, and that's that. Since we cannot come into contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for fear of losing our lives for it, give me 1 second, some of that is going to be reflected in the creations itself. Therefore, there's really, we're reassuring, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does has to make sense, has to have a reason, and we're not going to be privy to all of it. But since he has such power, such greatness, such strength, I have no doubt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has more and more and more to give and more to direct us. Now, here's the crazy part. Eliyahu finishes. At this point, Eliyahu is raised to a different level. Eliyahu already had the potential to be a Navi. The potential was always there. He was great, awesome. He had unbelievable kohos. After hearing this, he had an epiphany, and he realized, he's right. That doesn't make my suffering any easier, but he's right. I can't complain about this. And he gave his first tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a nevuah to him.
Why isn't his tefillah in the Tanakh? It's just as Vayana Shemetiyu.
I don't know. It could be that at the very end, when Eliyahu speaks something, that would be like a hint of what he says. I don't know. But Eliyahu brought him up. Maybe he didn't say much, but yeah. I don't know. But he accepted it. He accepted from what it was. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers up Eliyahu. And here's the deal. When it comes to this Nevuah, a Navi, I don't know who wrote Eliyahu. Again, we have that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Eliyahu. The wording and the poetry that we use for the next 3 prakim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speak is really the exact same wording that we've been using up until now. It's no different. Now, usually, when you deal with something like this, it usually, like, you change the wording. Like, Eliyahu speaks one way, but, you know, everybody speaks a different way. So far, Namasi, Bildet Ashuchi, Alifaz. Here, it's pretty much the same exact wording the whole way through. It could be it's because the writer was all one person and he did it that way. It could be that you've heard it in the voice of Eliyahu ben Barkael, right, and what Eliyahu ben Barkael was telling him. I don't know. But it is going to be interesting that he's going to hear it, and the wording is almost direct.
The thoughts of Eo, and therefore it's the same. He's hearing it the same way, because it's his thoughts.
Yeah, it's sort of like his autobiography being told over, exactly. Right, to somebody else to be able to write it for him. But this is going to be the revelation. So we'll lean out there next time. We'll talk about the revelation, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells over to Eo. There's 3 prakim that goes into it, and 4 prakim, I think, altogether. And this is interesting, because he goes through nature, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, almost like sarcastically, you know what I did here? Do 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 you know what I did here? And I says to Eliyahu, yeah, you can't bother me with this. Like, I have everything in mind when I'm doing these things, so you got to stop bothering me. Like, okay, I've got everything taken care of. Don't worry about it. I've got you taken care of. And he does give him the complaint. He says, you had a chance, and you failed. You can still be great, but you're not going to be like Avraham Avinu. You lost your opportunity to be like Avraham Avinu. And that's it. You're going to be great, and everything's going to be awesome. But unfortunately, that was it. All right, we'll stop with this right here.